Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for sketches, stories, and songs on mysticism. An NPR host searches for the value of esoteric knowledge. JP tells a true childhood tale about a haunted living room knick-knack. Retired actress Martha Young becomes the first party shaman. Phil Proctor and Jamie Elcroft return with their Boomers on a Bench. Plus, American folk mystics Jet Dreadstone perform their literary tunes.
Try it again, but not so literal. Like, we need to transcend the medium and ascend to a higher plane this week.
Open your eyes. It's American Parlor Songbook.
That's pretty good.
Join us for epiphanies, awakenings, and kundalini experiences.
It's not quite it. We need to go deeper.
Discover the hidden power.
Oh, like a shaman, you know, go for it.
Spirals, vibrations, and
light. Don't hold back. Speak in tongues.
Horse lips and swing. We go.
Perfect.
From a constantly disintegrating now, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
Well, thank you, folks. And as always, on the other microphone, I think, therefore she is, I think, Julie Van Dusen. Mysticism. Spirituality, tarot cards, tea leaves, stars in the sky, the fates. With the future blind and unknown, we look for a means to peek behind the curtain. A gimmick to somehow sneak around the nature of time. And with meaning unobvious, we meditate, we pray, wish, dance, and trance into alternate states, right? Coming back with nothing in our hands to hold on to, but something, well, maybe something in our soul. Me personally, I'm an agnostic Gnostic, meaning that I possess the ancient mystical knowledge that I don't know anything. Being an agnostic Gnostic, I'm also prognostic, in that I guarantee in the future I still won't know a darn thing. Now, I've also been known to take a very negative tone towards my own lack of future mystical knowledge, which of course makes me a caustic prognostic agnostic Gnostic. The fact that it rhymes doesn't mean anything in particular, though. Unless, of course, you subscribe to synchromysticism, in which case you might think there's a hidden meaning in this verse, right? An acrostic. And I do like a good game, so you never know. And also, the pursuit of enjoyment is my driving force. I'm absolutely devoted to it, just like any self-respecting caustic, prognostic, agnostic, gnostic, or apolostic. Side note, I'm also an idiot, and I totally use the rhyming dictionary to come up with all those smart-sounding words.
Higher and higher above you rise, with rolled back eyes, with trembling hands, you by and by arrive on the other side.
Cavemen. I'm guessing the cavemen were mystics too. They must have been. It would have been way too easy to connect the stray dots with that goofy ape brain of theirs and that forehead so big it blocks the sun like a built-in tennis visor. I guess that was kind of handy, but well, they probably saw magic in the clouds and divinity in the fire. They probably had rituals to hope for a better hunt, right? In fact, Lucy, you know, Lucy the missing link, Lucy was way into rituals. She had obsessive-compulsive disorder. This is true. Her pervasive negative thoughts could only be alleviated with a ritual. She kept rearranging her bones, confusing future scientists. Turns out she didn't walk upright. No, it was strictly nervous cartwheels. Hominem windmillipithecus. But I digress. I just made all that up. Anyway, mysticism. The ancient Greeks had a related word. It was mysterion, like a mystery where the answer requires some kind of initiation. It was coined after the most pressing question of the time. Which leg do I put first into my toga? Dan, even more pressing, we have democracy, mathematics, philosophy, and science. Why haven't we figured out pants?
Higher and higher above you rise, with rolled back eyes, with trembling hands, you buy.
tarotology was born in the late 18th century. Tarot cards, right? Those cards have been around for a while, just for playing games, and then people suddenly started using them for divination, you know. Turn over your fate from the deck. There's meaning in the cards. The cards. The fool. Turn him up. Well, you probably didn't shuffle the deck. He's like the Joker, he's on the top of the deck. So shuffle the deck, you fool. That, and he has that open and willingness, like happy-go-lucky innocence. The fool. The hanged man. The hanged man is telling you that you're in limbo. Try letting go. Wheel of Fortune. If you flip that one, ask Say Jack for a tea and win the kitchen set. The Tower. The Tower. A sign that everything is falling apart. Like my belief in tarot card reading. It is fun, though. Even if it's not an exact science, it's fun. Like, it's a lot more fun to ask a Ouija board for an answer than, you know, to consult the periodic table. And even pure science can't predict your fate. Unless your fate involves being stranded on a receding iceberg. Then science totally has your back. Learn to swim.
Higher and higher above you rise with rollback eyes, with trembling hands you by and by arrive on the other side.
Well, these days, anything goes, right? With the internet, we can churn out new mystics at the speed of light. Synchromysticism, that's my favorite new flavor, right? Born out of the sheer volume of information available. The idea that, well, anything that could be is. Because there's so much stuff, well, you can find meaning in anything. Coincidence by the blog load. You can find connections between, I don't know, Egyptian frog gods, Italian disco songs, and American presidents. If you Google it hard enough, you can find it, and you could make a whole belief system out of it. The internet search engine, it's like a hyperdimensional magic eight ball. Ask it anything, it'll give you the answer, right? Connect the dots, and well, you'll find that someone else has already connected those very same dots. Now there's two of you, and four, and eight, and 1,000. It's putting the mystery into the world by taking it out of it, and therefore putting it back in again. Speaking of search engines and mystics, please, don't Google any of this or I'll be exposed. You'll find that, well, I'm pulling it all out of my ear. It'll become perfectly obvious that I am, in fact, a know-nothing, caustic, prognostic, agnostic, gnostic, apolostic. And we're all the way back to the beginning again, just like any good trick of the universe. So, let's look at mysticism this week. See if we can't divine some sketches, a story, maybe a few songs. Stick around. It's inevitable.
Higher and higher above you rise with rollback eyes, with trembling hands you'll by and by arrive on the other side.
Musical guest this week is a interesting cosmic American folk group out of Joshua Tree, California. They're led by not only a songwriter, but a graduate of philosophy and an author, Keegan Goodman, with the band's lyrics tracing the storyline of his latest series, Tarot Cards, Mystery Riders, and Harmonies. Couldn't think of a better fit this week. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jet Dreadstone.
This song's called The Devil.
I'm gonna leave this valley during the springtime rains with one love and two for a kiss and make 6 to 66. I tried to love the Lord, but we didn't really mix. And I still find myself on my knees. pushing through the earth with greased up ease, with one treasure, two for pleasure, make 6 to 66. All the lost souls down at the river Styx, they'll seep up to the surface in time. It's all just a glimmer in Capricorn's eye. He's got one to see with, two to kill with, makes 6 to 66.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. On your public radio, ethnomusicologist Peter Johns interviews music ethnologist John Peters about the growing need for clarification of their respective fields. But first, it's Ear Science with Petra Johansson. I've been Johan Peterson.
This is Petra Johansson, and you're listening to Ear Science. Science for your ears. Not about them, for them. Ear Science, get it? As I look at the bachelor's degree on the wall in my tiny house, I start to wonder, what is learning anyway? Does my degree in Western mid-century masculinist cinema make me smarter than a yurt farmer? Does he farm yurts, or merely live in them while he farms? Would I have known the answer if I had stuck with my degree in Central Asian yurt farming? Or would I have been better off just born a Central Asian yurt farmer? I couldn't shake the feeling that my Western preconceptions of knowledge are holding me back. So I called my old friend, professor of mid-century masculinist cinema at Southern Vermont University, Dr. Marion Carey.
The interesting thing that we find is the more that one studies mid-century Western masculinist cinema, the less they tend to know about yurts, math, philosophy, medicine, business, life, literature, geography, engineering, or any other kind of cinema for that matter.
Fascinating.
The problem was so severe that I was unable to come to a presentable hypothesis on the value of education without resorting to harsh critiques of the Smokey and the Bandit franchise.
Left wanting by my trusted old professor, I decided to reach out in a different direction. Try and shuck off the esoteric in favor of something esoteric. Real Peruvian shaman, Peter Smith.
While studying Peruvian shamanism at the University of Western Oregon, I became familiar with an ancient feathered lizard god, Quetzalcoatl, while deep in a theoretical ayahuasca journey.
Theoretical?
With no actual plant available in Western Oregon, the dosage was strictly academic. But while in a kind of trance-like state, Quetzalcoatl revealed to me the value of true, unacademic knowledge.
And he said?
I don't recall. I changed my major to Western mid-century masculinist cinema.
The more I learned, the dumber I felt. And then it hit me. Perhaps the nature of our world, the spiritual plane, hidden or known, can't be solved with a degree in masculinist cinema. Or maybe it can. I'll be back next week with my conclusion, after watching the entire Any Which Way But Loose series and 6 seasons of Bonanza. I'm Petra Johansson, and this is Ear Science on Public Radio. I'm Petra Johansson.
How about another song from Jet Dreadstone?
There's an old country road with no name that runs through these woods no one's ever claimed. They say that people vanish who drive it at night, never again to be seen alive. The truth about it I've learned from dreams, it's a nightmare feast on the wreck to breathe. There's a curse that makes the cars lose control, a witch of the night to steal their soul. She sneaks through the weeds on the side of the road, turned on by the blood and the glass and the chrome. She longs for the taste of gasoline, the feel of axle torque and piston heat. Appears with the tire iron in her hand, with filed down edges and jagged ends. She'll cut her way to the heart of the car, the heart of man, and devour it all. Calling on you, our hearts to bless. Automotive harlot, car crash sorceress. You've got Chevrolet in your veins, a Mustang tongue, and you come in Cadillac rain. And your word is a thunderbird, a bloodstained red from the wreck and the dead on the road. She'll take all the strong men and their pretty little wives, sweet cheerleaders in their virgin prime. She'll take the proud farm boys and the reverend's kids, even infant babies in the car seat beds. Anyone making highway time, whether drinking hard or praying strength be mine. When they hit the brakes and the tires skid, the body greets what the engines willed. The pavement will be a banquet laid with miles begged and hours paid. Calling on you, our hearts to bless. Automotive harlot, car crash sorceress. Got Chevrolet in your veins, a Mustang tongue, and you come in a Cadillac rain. And your word is a thunderbird, bloodstained red from the wreck and the dead on the road. Oh, it's bloodstained red from the wreck and the dead on the road. Oh, it's bloodstained red from the wreck and the dead on the road.
Voodoo dolls live. Bigfoot walked. Men moved pencils on TV using only their mind and some hidden breaths. The hippie generation never got over the hump to ascend to nirvana. No. They caved in and went middle-aged, new age crazy. And they dragged us kids through it, on TV and in the movies. They made us believe in all manner of woo. The force, pyramid power. If you dream it, you can be it. Everyone's a star. Personal power. I took a deep breath. Closed my little kid eyes and I went for it. Just believe. Just believe. My sister was standing by to verify any measurable levitation with a yardstick. The same yardstick that my mom would wield if we misbehaved. No, don't worry, she never used it. She just held it up and said she was going to use it. The effect wore off after once or twice, and then it just became hilarious. A tiny Italian afro on top, pencil frame, 4'10", holding a stick twice her height, and then, well, we joked that it was a regular classroom-sized ruler, and she was just that small. So there's my sister with that yardstick, right? She's ready to measure the levitation I get off the ground. I'm breathing slowly to concentrate. Concentrate. Use everything inside you to push yourself off the ground with sheer will. Here goes. Push with your mind and... Oh, too much force. And my sister scrambles away for fresh air. All right, if the balloon touches the ground, you're dead. You have to count to 10, and then you're alive. You shout, dead guy, count to 10, and then new guy, and then you get back up and you keep the balloon up, right? A life or death challenge. Makes perfect sense. Games and superstition, they fit perfect together. One floats up. It's an easy one. Sister spikes it. Never mind the tacky glass coffee table. It's life or death here. Hero dive in slow motion across the room. Oh, I may have broken my back, but at least I'm not a dead guy. Pan down from the fall sky. Maple leaf tree in the front. Tiny old house. Up into the porch. A faux stained glass decal sticker on the door glass there. Into the living room with fake Picasso printed on wood, and bookshelves with dusty old beatnik hits, and saucy page turners like Coffee, Tea, or Me, Joy of Sex, beads in the door jamb to the dining room, and over there, on the wooden pedestal, the idol. It arrived with Pat Donald, my mom's peculiar old Irish friend. He had a pet turtle named Weird Fella, and he had a thing for Japan. He collected all sorts of interesting artifacts, and the occasional little statue made of candle wax, probably at the airport on the way out of Tokyo. You know, a nice gesture for Mom. And well, it blended right in with the late passé beatnik decor of our living room. But to us dumb kids, that little statuette was cursed. Now, my old man was almost as weird as the rest of them, so he stroked his goatee and dug up the perfect display, an oblong glass dome, a clear cylinder with a bubble dome on top, right? Carefully placed it over the statue on the green tablecloth draped over that pedestal, and I've seen enough washed-out 70s B-movies to know what a spooky, cursed idol looks like. It looks like that. And, well, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's cross dumb games with mystic mumbo-jumbo. And then the rules somehow delivered themselves to us from some kind of kid trance fever freakout. My sister speaking in pretend tongues, me wearing a tea cozy on my head like an occult priest. Now, when the statue is safely encased in that awesome glass dome Dad dug up, it's safe. When it's lifted up, the air goes bad. You know, driving past the graveyard, hold your breath or it's bad luck bad. Even worse, cursed bad, voodoo, Bigfoot, King Tut omen bad. So, of course, we lift the dome up and see how long we could hold our breath for it. Up goes the dome, deep breath, and hold it, and then clang, put it back down and take a big, full, long... Dad stomps in, sandals over socks, jean shorts cut dangerously short, button-up pocket shirt, right, goatee, nerd glasses. From the bottom to the top, he went, swinger, nerd, beatnik, nerd. He stomps in. You're going to break it, and if you break it, Mom's going to be mad. If she gets mad, it'll be the ineffectual yardstick, and you'll laugh. And if you laugh, she's going to get madder, and then I'm going to have to get annoyed, and, well, I'm not going to do anything, but. Well, but Pat Donald is coming over Saturday, and if that thing is busted there, he'll be very upset. Geez, Dad, we're trying to avoid being cursed here. Saturday morning comes. Okay, look, Nikki, I know what Dad said, but come on, a quick round of domey cursey, and no one's going to know. Up it goes. Hold it. Well, this was a game, but we believed in it. We believed it hard. The bad luck was for real. No breathesies. Hold it. Going for the record. The longer it's up, the stronger your power, the more good luck up. Hold it. And then the door opens and in walks Mom, Pat Donald, and his pet turtle. Hide the dome! Nikki stuffs it under the cushion. They linger in the living room there. Don't you want to say hi to weird fella? Shake head vigorously. No. Doris, your kids look blue. What have you been feeding them? Nikki's eyes start to roll back. Hold it. You're awfully quiet. What did you do? Mom says. Shakes head. Nothing. All right, well, we'll just go. Yes, go. We're nodding our heads. We'll just go. We'll go into the kitchen and chat. Yes. Bluer. Go. Yes. They part the beads and vanish into the kitchen. And cover it. And Nikki tosses the dome up in the air. I'm up for the Hail Mary catch and the landing. And it's up. Bluer. I'm going to black out if I don't breathe it. Up and smash. It goes down. The statue hits the floor. Glass, wax. No! The beads rattle, and there's Mom in the doorway. Yardstick up. Pat Donald over her shoulder. And weird fella, the turtle, looking on, disappointed and ashamed. No wind left. I looked to Nikki. She looked to me. We nodded. Yes, our fate is sealed. Accept it, right? So I take that deep, bad, lucky breath. Oof. Tastes cursed and guilty. And then I look over to Nikki. She smirks and mouths, "You lose." And as far as I know, she's still holding her breath to this day.
Pyramid idols beats for a door. Castle prince and a shag carpet floor. There we were, playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And welcome back to American Parlor Songbook. Now, let's head out to the park and stop in with our friends Phil Proctor and Jamie Alcroft, our boomers on a bench.
You know, I really don't get this. I mean, really?
Really? You really don't get what?
This article. The relationship between glaciers and gender.
Oh, yeah. Glaciers and gender, yeah. Because both of their dangerous parts are beneath the surface, right? Is that why the relationship's there?
Oh.
Is this in the comics or the op-ed page?
Yeah. What does op-ed stand for, anyway?
I don't know. I've always liked to think it stands for opinionated pinheads, erroneous dissertations.
That sounds about right.
So what does this slow-moving mass of dirt have to do with Bruce Jenner, anyway?
Well, it's a study which concludes that ice is not just ice.
I'm melting.
Oh, yeah, me too. Listen to this.
Jeez.
Merging feminist post-colonial science studies lead to more just and equitable human-ice interactions. End quote.
Well, there you go. That solves it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where do you see this thing?
It's there.
Where is it?
There, right there.
Okay. Oh, here it is. Glaciers can shape religious beliefs and culture.
Right.
And climate change can lead to gender renegotiation? Is that what you're talking about? Sexually fluid?
Or sexually frigid?
Yeah, well, I'll have mine on the rocks, thanks. Sounds like this so-called feminist glaciology is a pretty slippery slope.
And the study cost us taxpayers $400,000.
Well, hell's bells. I could buy an igloo in Florida for that.
It's enough to turn me into a climate change denier.
Yeah, it's enough to make me want to cancel my ex-wife's sex change operation.
What did you just say?
My ex-wife's sex change operation.
Why would your ex change her sex?
Have you ever noticed the long lines outside the ladies' rooms?
Oh. I'm sorry, I just don't get it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like you got something there, pal.
Yeah, well, when did I start making noises like my coffee machine?
Probably when everything in your shopping cart said for fast relief on it.
Yeah. Well, at least I know it's not a reaction to romaine lettuce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we threw that all out when we had that scare a while back.
Really? We didn't let it stop us. We love a good seizure salad. Yeah.
Seizure salad.
You remember back in '15, that Blue Bell ice cream hysteria?
It was more like a Listeria. That's what you mean, don't
you? Yeah, that Listeria lime sorbet. It's one of my ex's favorites.
Yeah. Maybe the sorbet drove her away.
Maybe. Or it was the rabid raisin ripple.
Or the cholera crunch.
Perhaps it was the botulism berry. Come here, my darling. Would you like another scoop?
Oh, not to mention my daughter's favorite, mad cow mocha mint.
Oh, yeah. I told you not to mention that.
Whoa. Oh, there's a story here about some brave guy who rushed into his burning house to rescue his father, who was left inside.
No. Wait a minute, Phil. It doesn't say his father. It says his father's ashes.
Oh.
Is that ironic or just redundant?
It's just plain stupid.
That's what it is. Oh, look at this. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
PETA.
Are holding a fundraiser.
Oh, what is it? A car wash? A turkey shoot?
Oh, heavens, no. It's a rib and burger barbecue.
Where?
Unbelievable. Oklahoma.
Oh, good. I'll miss it.
Whoa, look at this. It's a picture of him here, Abe Bookman.
What?
He was one of the inventors of the Magic 8 Ball. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I used to play with that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
What did he die of?
Let's see. Answer is hazy. Ask again later.
Talk about a slow news day, boy. As of today, it says here, not a single celebrity had to apologize for a rude tweet.
Yeah, coincidentally, a new study shows that when given the choice between hearing another story of a wealthy celebrity's triumph over alcohol or drug addiction, 70% of Americans said they would rather be hit in the groin with a rake.
Yeah, it reminds me of the 12-step prayer. Yeah. Grant me the senility to forget the people that I never liked, the good fortune to run into the ones that I did, and the eyesight to know the difference.
That's right. That's good advice, man.
Yes, yeah, certainly is.
Yep.
Oh, hey, are you going to run in the L.A. Marathon again?
Wouldn't miss it for the world. Oh. Certainly am.
What was your time last year?
About 11:15.
No. I mean, it starts at 7. That's...
No, that's too early. No. I get there at 11, the crowds are really thinned out, you know? Gonna warm up, get going, start the race. I like to enjoy the scenery, you know, grab lunch around 2, have a few beers, watch the sunset. Last year's was awesome,
by
the
way.
And then I get a room at the Four Seasons and rest up the old dogs.
The Four Seasons. Yeah, we stayed there once. We never got out of the room. We couldn't figure out what to do with all those pillows on the bed.
Yeah, I know. I love their mini bar, though, huh? Where else can you get a soda and a bag of chips for $37?
What a bargain.
Anyway, no matter how tired I am, where else, you know, I always finish my marathon by noon, Monday, always, like Clockwork Orange. Yeah, you can count on it.
So, you're a runner, huh?
Mm-hmm.
From what, I may ask?
Well, mostly from reality. Yeah, I think reality's totally overrated.
Oh, this is sad.
What?
Santa Monica's most celebrated psychic is still in critical condition after she was run over by one of those electric scooters.
Santa Monica's most celebrated psychic, huh? I guess she never saw it coming. Well, anyway, I gotta get going.
What did the eight ball guy die of?
What?
Well, you said ask again later.
Oh. Try again tomorrow.
And so we shall, yes. Old friend.
See you, buddy. Take care, Noodles.
Now we've got just enough time for one more song from Jet Dreadstone.
They're slow, but in just half the time. I snuck through the woods with the stash of wine. I wandered a good another kind. A place to call home. I've been alone for a while. I came to this creek cutting clear through the clay. I figured water'd be rolling my way. I heard something strange stirring in the breeze. A voice from the past running fast through the trees. time eased the cord of my guts and the flame of my mind. And my mama danced through the West Texas plains. She bled from her mouth when she gave me my name. She said, I am the curse of this land. I am the curse of this land. Son, take my hand. Take my hand. First met Eve, she'd never done no one wrong. She showed me around North Arkansas. She took me to this bar where she said we can talk and drink a few beers and hear some good honky-tonk. We danced all night until closing time. Dance to a song sung for all humankind. We then went outside where we looked at the sky, and that night was signed by the twin Gemini. Born of the serpent who uncoils time, eased the cord of my guts and the flame of my mind. My mama danced through the West Texas plains. She bled from her mouth when she gave me seen the eyes to make blind again, all those given sight by the Son of Man. She said, I am the curse of this land. I am the curse of this land. So take my hand, take my hand.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR and available on PRX.
Wendell.
You can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Wendell!
Yes, Mother. Make it quick. I was already halfway into a wonderful dream.
Tell me, which dress looks wiser? The black one with a low-cut back or the white one with a low-cut front?
How about black with a low-cut front?
Well, I don't have one of those.
Oh, wear it backwards, then.
So front or back, black or white?
Are you good wise or evil wise?
Is playing mystic to fleece the ladies in the condo social club out of their pensions good?
The black dress, then.
You're right. I'll cut the front low, too.
Low-cut front and back?
So I can get them coming and going.
All right. Fill me in on your latest scheme, Martha.
You remember when I paid $75 for that palm reading with Uma Navatilovian?
The medium.
Oh, no. She was more of an extra large.
No, medium. Conduit to the spiritual plane.
Oh, no. It wasn't a plane. It was a converted school bus.
No, plane. Level of existence. She claims the ability to transcend to a higher level.
Well, it was a real mind-expanding experience.
So you realize the true nature of the universe and you want to share your knowledge?
No, I realize she fleeced me out of the $75 and I want a share of the action.
And the kindly marms of the Windy Palm Senior Community Social Club are your mark?
They say a sucker retires every minute.
And when you're around, one is injured too.
Cleared of all wrongdoing.
Thanks to a mysterious erasure of the security footage, sure.
You know as well as I do that Mrs. Applebaum had it coming.
She was only trying to lead a chorus of cabaret.
And that's my number.
Every number is your number.
Yes, exactly.
So that calls for flinging potatoes from behind the buffet.
Trench warfare, baby.
And filling your mouth with punch and squirting it out like a water cannon.
I call it the fountain of truth.
Followed by an off-the-chandelier scissor kick onto Mr. Crandall's shoulders.
Where else?
Steering his rascal scooter around the room with your foot, shouting, "All aboard the Geriatric Express!"
That's hilarious.
Ending with a pile-up at the microphone, spraining Mrs. Applebaum's toe.
Well, I got her to stop singing, didn't I?
Touché.
It's settled, then. Tomorrow, Operation Mystic Money.
I don't remember settling anything.
Well, try and keep up.
I'd like to go to sleep.
After we iron out the details.
What's there to iron out, Martha? You'll get me into some kind of caper or scheme, and then, I'll clean up the mess.
Exactly. Only this time, I'll be a few hundred richer.
With your little act.
Yes. I'm taking them for $75. But it's not really an act, Wendell. I am a mystic.
You don't have a spiritual bone in your body.
Spirits don't have bones. So there.
It's a figure of speech.
Or figures. So double there.
All right. So what are these special gifts of yours?
First, I've been blown up, run over, electrocuted, bitten by at least 7 different kinds of wild animals, and spent 15 minutes trapped under Dom DeLuise. I'm basically immortal.
You have survived a lot. I'll give you that, Martha.
Second, I have total power to command the entire attention of any room. I'm hypnotic.
You do seem to suck up the spotlight wherever you go.
And, most importantly, through a firm commitment to hedonistic intoxication, I have mastered the blackout state of absolute abandon.
And you do know how to liven up a party, it's true.
And there isn't a level I can't ascend.
Well, I did once see you climb to the upper deck at Dodger Stadium, so...
So, yes, the way I see it, $75 is fair admission to where I'm taking those bored old ladies.
And where is that?
To the other side, baby.
Of where?
Of life. They'll complain about their sore feet and their husbands snoring and how their grandkids never come up anymore and how expensive gas is. And I'll just nod my head and I'll smile while slowly turning up the heat.
The conversation does get a little stale around here.
First, a few drinks. Dim the lights. Then a little more music. Some more drinks. Maybe a dare or two. Bit of gossip. Some more drinks. Couple of more. And before they know it, we'll be dancing at the Margarita Town Bar.
Martha, no, they'll never keep up. That Margarita Town crowd is young and agile, in their 60s.
Well, you're as young as you feel. And if you've had a few, you really can't feel a thing.
No, It's too risky.
Now you're getting it.
Getting what?
My very own patented Martha Young pathway to enlightenment.
I'm getting it.
Yes, yes, yes. You take risks. You get lost. You go crazy. And most importantly, you have fun.
Well, I do have to admit, Martha, the most fun I've ever had is with you. And, well, for every catastrophe, there's been 100 laughs.
Yes, you can't make an omelet without spraining a few toes.
So it's settled then.
What is?
I'll invite the fellas and you can shaman us all into the fun zone.
All right, but it's $75 a pop.
Wait, does that include the cover at Margarita Town?
Oh, where we're going, we don't need a cover charge.
So, in through the back window again?
Yes, of course.
Oh, perfect, I'll call the gang then.
Wait, not so fast, Tiger. This ain't no pleasure cruise. Where we're going, you'll need your strength.
Okay, then. A good night's sleep, and we'll set sail in the morning.
All aboard for Nirvana.
Oh, I'm going to dream all about it. Good night.
Hey, wait. You know I can't enter the dreamscape without my song.
Cabaret?
No, silly, my lullaby.
Ah, your lullaby, of course.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We burn the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.